last orders at the bar, please.
Welcome to Tavern Tales, a curated 5e Dungeons & Dragons adventure set in the Tales of the Yawning Portal campaign module by Wizards of the Coast.
Previously on Tavern Tales, Yashiria has relinquished her magical boots to a goblin, while a pile more have met with death. The Silverkins have found and chatted with Alsag's wife, Viris, and now, with her guidance, they know the direction to Balak.
Come sit down and drink with the enemy, raise a glass and toast to the enemy, and I'm not gonna do this on my own. So come sit down and laugh with the enemy, raise a glass and sing to the enemy, and I'm not gonna do this on my own. So I won't end up being alone, 'cause I won't drink my drink alone. So what about you? One beer or two, I'll drink to you.
Welcome to game 13 of Tavern Tales.
Pretty awesome.
Yay, lucky 13.
Yeah, I know. Hopefully. This is the ultimate session where we reach the climax of the adventures in the Sunless Citadel of the Silverkin family. Along the way, through no fault within the game, we have lost two other characters in Torin and Sidork to the travails of a nice sunny day on the upside world.
I mean, in real life, they like got better life offers and moved and all sorts of stuff. So
these things happen.
Indeed. Yeah. We will move on. Our stalwart band of three has penetrated deep into the citadel of Ashardalon the Red Dragon that has been reclaimed by some sort of goblin kobold tentative alliance and horrible depredations below. When last the game ended, you had all leveled up to level 3, and I had forgotten to give you all something.
Oh.
For every level, you will get a white moat.
Woohoo.
Toss those.
Oh, good.
To each
In
of you.
In case we die. That's excellent.
Granting you opportunity to change the tale as you need it to be changed.
You have 3?
I can confirm I have 3 white motes.
You don't spend them enough. I change the story all the time, not necessarily to my advantage, but...
I like the story.
Oh, okay.
The DM's a good storyteller.
Stop sucking up.
Here we are. At the conclusion of the last episode, the bar closed for the evening. The tale was interrupted in the telling, and the teller encouraged and cajoled the people to come back the next day where he would finish the story off. And now, the bar has reopened for the afternoon, the bartender performing his normal daily routine. A few lunchtime patrons have settled into accustomed seats for fresh bread and the remains of yesterday's stew. Our erstwhile narrator arrives later in the day. The bar is full and quietens when he takes the stage.
With Viris given directions, our family, smaller now than they were when they first set foot within the Sunless Citadel, make their way through the first arboretum into another.
Excuse me?
A small voice pipes up.
Before you truly get started, I was wondering if I could add to the epic tale's conclusion.
A small, gnomish figure works his way to the front. He's dressed in a pale blue doublet with a sigil of 2 fallen trees upon it. There is an old and battered-looking golden talisman around his neck, which he holds, seeming to draw strength and courage from it. He turns to face the gathered throng, gently clears his throat,
ahem,
and says,
"This has been passed down from father to son since it was written. You may have heard it before. It is, after all, a well-known folk song."
Forgive me.
"The Lord of Light is Palor, and he sees o'er all the land. And I could feel his light within me when you reached out and took my hand. For I set out upon the high road to see what Palor had for me, and met with hardship after hardship and tortured captivity. Though I'm just a little acolyte in a great big shining world, I know it's too much to hope that you could be my girl. I'm yearning here for justice. Divine something that is true. I give my faith to Paylor. But I give my love to you. Oh, I give my faith to Paylor. But I give my love to you. And as the gnome's voice stills the patrons of the yawning portal that evening, we are transported back to the adventure itself as we peek in upon a slight gnome, emaciated and world-weary, but with hope for the first time in his eyes, as he has asked for a moment of Yashiria's time so that he might get something off his chest. And it's not the song in its finished form. It's barely a song at all, but the sentiment is there in amongst the glowing fungus and the musty loam of the Northern Arboretum.
It's wonderful.
Don't cry, Aaron. It's okay.
You look like touch. It's beautiful. It was wonderful.
That was a nice tune.
Is that what Yashiria says in reply?
Yes. That is what she says in reply.
And Erky, as heartened as he has been, is perhaps but briefly disappointed, nevertheless reaches out for Yashiria's hand as they trail through the Northern Arboretum towards potentially certain demise. Does Yashiria take poor little Erky's hand, or does she casually miss his reaching fingers?
I did fail an acrobatics check to grab his hand, so I don't grab it. I failed the check.
What acrobatics check?
But then I tried it again and I got it. So yes, we are holding hands.
All right. Yashiria quietly holds Erky Timber's hand in the back of the group as Drayden and Oriana set forth in front.
Drayden draws Calcrix to clears his throat to not look and just looks ahead. Oriana, we must stay vigilant in looking ahead.
Why? Because they're going to get it on?
I assume this is what relationships end up leading to eventually.
Let's continue.
We trudge ahead.
Luminescent mist blurs the edges of this octagonal chamber. Nodules of glowing fungus dot the stone walls and ceiling, as well as the caps of toadstools and mushrooms, small polyps, puffballs, and lichen. The humid air reeks with rot as you open this northern door. There is another door in the southwestern corner, barely 15 feet from where you stand. To the north, working diligently in rich loam, is three skeletons wearing the same black robes they were wearing before, working with shovels and rakes. They are all to the north. They do not seem to respond to the opening door.
I hate skeletons. Oriana, come, let's rid them of their unlives.
You want to kill them?
Why not?
I mean, they haven't even noticed us.
Fine. We just keep on walking towards the door.
Absolutely, yes. The skeletons continue to furrow the land and drop seeds into the tilled soil. You don't seem to see if it's twig blights. It might be other things as well. You could make a nature check.
Does anyone have nature?
Not me.
No, I do not.
No, I don't care enough.
None of you care enough about the natural world to really give two quarters.
I've never done that much work in my life. Watching it makes me tired.
So you reach for the door.
You got me. Is this Paige? Is this Ariana? What's going on here?
Perfect.
You reach for the doorknob after having given it a quick glance and inspection to determine if there were any traps or sigils or anything to indicate that this door was otherwise going to harm you. And it opens to the touch. There is nothing untoward that is levied into this door.
Is it a wooden door?
Sure. Yeah, it's a wooden door set in a stone wall with nice stone work around it. Rounded at the top, The door opens upon a normal looking location. There is a little bit of dirt trickled in through the bottom of this door into the first few feet of this passageway to the south that extends about 20 feet and is 10 feet wide. There is no illumination immediately present down this corridor. However, the light of Calcrix and potentially Oriana's light or whatnot, if you, and the green candle that Yashiria is carrying, reveals dragon-carved granite blocks that line this chamber's walls and ceiling, though many are crumbled and broken, leaving stony debris upon the floor. A huge marble statue of a rearing red dragon stands in the curve of the western wall. The eye sockets of the dragon are empty, but a glow, a red glow, lingers there, providing reddish light throughout the chamber as you enter into this larger room. The radiance casts an inky shadow behind the statue's wide wings. A 5-foot diameter, circular tile of dark stone is set in the floor in front of the dragon statue. Runes carved around the circular tile's inner edge beckon to be understood.
They're like magical runes, Oriana?
Can I do an arcana check on them?
You bet.
Awesome. 20.
That is a very good arcana check, which allows you to realize that the tile of the inner edge is written in Draconic. And if you could but read in Draconic whatever was stated there and stand upon the circular tile, a blessing would be bestowed upon you.
Is there an exit?
Indeed, there is. Around the corner from the long corridor into the large chamber itself is another door to the north. This door is slightly ajar.
Well, we don't speak Draconic, so...
Should have been a dragon sorcerer.
I know, right?
It would have come in handy so many times.
So many times.
Yeah, you really screwed up on that one.
I'm going to ask my sword if she can speak Draconic. Read it from the sword.
Sword, can you see this?
Hey, I guess she's a dragon.
Hey, Kelcrix, can you read this Draconic on the floor here?
If I jam you into the
ground. You guys notice that I talk to my sword a lot more than I used to.
Oh, yeah, because you're the only one that can hear her.
Mm-hmm.
I'm surprised we never thought anything about that.
It's usually what happens between a fighter and their sword. It's a sacred bond.
Fair.
Super excited to use some more maneuvers. Maneuvers.
So do you tell the group about these draconic runes when you ask, does Oriana actually say what she said?
That I wish I was a dragon with sorcerer.
So that you could speak draconic?
Yes, I do say that.
Okay. Well, or Erky Timber says, well, I speak draconic.
Really?
Yeah, yes, of course.
Well, what does it say?
Part of the regular training as an acolyte. Given that there's so much magic written in draconic, is a typical thing. Yes, of course.
Smart ass.
No, I'm afraid that they Mm-mm. killed Horus on the...
Smartass. Could you read it or not?
Yes, of course. He lets go of Yashiria's hand, walks over.
You're welcome.
I haven't done anything yet.
No, because now Yashiria doesn't have the look of pain on her face.
There's a look of...
No.
He it's ignores okay, Dracon. He goes back to... Is everything all right, Yashiria?
Everything's fine. My sister's just being a sister.
Yes, of course. He wanders over. He has a look and he says, oh, well, it says, let the sorceress power illuminate my spirit. That's what it says in Draconic.
That doesn't sound safe. It sounds like you could be set on fire.
I'm fire resistant.
Oriana's check of Arcana has informed her that if somebody were to speak those Draconic words in the circle, they would be blessed.
Oh, okay. You want to try it?
As I don't speak Draconic.
You would just get the pronunciation from Erky.
And then I would say it?
Yeah, he gives you the pronunciation, which, of course, you are the one who has to tell me what that is. For you, for the words, let the sorcerer power illuminate my spirit. Please recite that now in Draconic while standing upon the circle, or the tile.
Don't make it too hard, because I'm going to do it too if it rocks.
You have to be a sorcerer.
I don't know.
No?
Is that specific that you have to be a sorcerer? I'll try it. What is it? Don't make it too hard.
Hakusha Shama.
That racist.
That was perfectly
well,
fine.
It was good until he laughed.
Yes, of course.
You started going total Lion King intro.
No, it was also... No, it was exactly the way Oriana casts spells.
Yeah, I know. I was like, that's like, how you said
where she drags out a whole bunch of syllables, probably unnecessarily. Like, now we're starting to realize maybe that spell casting, when she goes, Amma, she adds a whole bunch of theatrics to it that are probably not necessary for the casting of
the
spell.
No, I mean, it's all charisma-based, so yeah, maybe of course. It is.
Yeah. Exactly. I gotta make the spell feel good.
So you have now said, let the sorceress power. What is the rest of the word? You need to finish it off with, illuminate my spirit.
Well, now I forgot the first part.
It's Hakusha Shamwa.
Yeah.
Thank you. Sound like Shamwa. Lo sa mi.
Perfect. Yeah. She says it with much more pomp and circumstance than that.
There's hand waving.
I mean, granted that she doesn't know the language, so Erky's coaching her on in the proper pronunciation. The eyes flare. The runes ignite beneath your feet, and a swirl of shadow and darkness spirals up, covering you, coating you. When it's gone, you feel so much more charismatic.
Oh.
And in fact, for the next 24 hours, you have advantage on any charisma check.
Whoa, that's awesome for you.
Cool.
Sweet. Because all your stuff is charisma based, right?
Sure is.
Oh, Jesus.
However,
Uh-oh.
In the moment that the blackness touches you, Oriana, you are transported again to the harsh, desert-like, wind-swept plane of existence.
My happy place?
Indeed. It is not so happy. For the loud boom and crunching of rock, granite cracks behind you as these gigantic clawed feet land on either side of you. You turn to see yourself face to face with an ancient red dragon, his scales so dark red that they appear to be obsidian, and he glares at you with a baleful expression, and he says, "Hello there." No, I'm just kidding.
Hello, love.
I wouldn't expect any less.
Hello, governor. Please make your
good
acquaintance.
Good day, mate.
What are you doing over here?
You're all right, bonny lass. No.
What are you doing in my house?
That'd be so funny.
The voice actually booms in this extreme resonant bass that shakes and cracks your bones with the force of the sonar vibrations as the voice says,
"I am Ashadalon."
And Oriana just tries to stop laughing.
I'm sorry. It reminded me in Aladdin when he walks up to the big thing that comes out of the sand.
Oh.
The big, yeah.
Disturbs yeah, that one. My slumber.
Yeah. Sorry. I had a Disney moment.
Yeah, you really did.
It is I, Aladdin.
And he says,
"The diamond in the rough."
Exactly.
In the rough. In the rough.
Yeah, exactly. No.
Not him.
What he says is,
"If you will have my benediction, you must destroy that which rent me asunder, the purple dragonborn DJ."
Ooh, crossover.
Can you speak that in English, please?
He just stomps on you. That's squishing rude. You flat, breaks your horns off, says you're no longer welcome in your happy place ever again.
That's mean.
No. He is. Okay, so what do you say?
I like only understood half of what he said.
If you would have my benediction, which
I don't
is
know what that means.
A blessing.
Okay.
Then you must seek that. Out and destroy the violet purple dragonborn named DJ.
Oh, okay, okay. Where is this purple-born dragon? How do I find it?
On the living plane.
Can I go back?
You just want to go back right now? You're like, I'm kind of done here. Do you...
Can I go home? A Shardalon
says...
Can I click my heels 3 times, please?
A Shardalon says...
Mr. A Shardalon.
Do you accept my request?
Because I feel like I'm about to pee my pants, yes.
You feel manacles attach themselves mystically to the horns upon your head. The chain stretching out to the forepaw of a Shardalon. They are magical. They are not heavy, but you feel their attachment and weight. And he says,
"Then you are mine."
Like, you're coming with us?
He chooses to ignore your vapid obtuseness, and he dismisses you back into the material world. Give me a insight check.
Ooh, natural 19, 23.
That is exceptional. You believe that what you have just spoken to is possibly a recorded message. And that the experience that you had in your happy place, your other world, is connected to the blessing of a Shardalon, and that a Shardalon is dead, long dead, has been dispatched and destroyed for hundreds of years, and that any power or control he may have over Orianna in this world is not. And in fact, you may not have actually been in your happy place plane. It may very well have been just a magical illusion which clouded your eyes for a brief moment.
Beep. You've reached Mr. Shardalon's voicemail. Please leave a message after the beep.
Yeah, a Shardalon. This is a Shardalon. Remember to get milk and change the cat litter.
And how do I check this stupid voicemail?
I'm breezy.
So basically, I got the blessing. He has no power over me in the living world. Possibly not even in my own happy place.
Exactly. That what may have just transpired was but illusion, smoke, and mirrors.
So I don't necessarily have to go kill a purple dragon.
No.
Perfect.
And it was a dragon born, not a dragon.
Which means probably long dead, too.
Quite likely.
Okay.
However, it doesn't take long for this spell to transpire and end, but the two of you, without even requiring a perception check, notice a moving shadow behind the statue.
Oh.
The spell ends, the lights dim in the eyes, extinguish, a puff of smoke comes off of the mouth.
Oh, we have a new pope.
The circle dims and all power and magical luminescence seems to die out in this statue.
Oh.
Well, that was interesting.
I'm going to look towards the shadow and give Yashiria the eyes. Do you see the shadow over there? It's moving around.
I nod agreeingly.
Oh, are you holding Erky's hand again?
Yes.
Okay.
Is that what that your hand raised is?
No, I just was keeping it there, but I guess I'll stay in character. Yes. I nod in agreement that I see the shadow.
How far away am I to the shadow?
Not very far at all.
I'm going to go stab it.
Maybe 15 feet at
like,
most.
I'm going to dash over there and stab it.
Okay, you dash around the large statue as Orianna comes back to this location, sees Drayden.
Did she actually
pull forth
disappear?
Calcrix. No, mentally.
Okay.
Return.
Yeah. No, she was like in the in
her
the
vision.
Because
yeah.
I was like surrounded by
her.
Like flames and darkness.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
You guys aren't wondering what just happened.
To them, it was
but a moment.
Yeah, to them, it was only a fraction of a moment, maybe 3 seconds, and you didn't go anywhere. Just some inky blackness touched your body, and then Matt Lauered its way out of NBC.
Whoa!
Too soon.
This is gonna play in April, so
too
I don't know.
It won't be too soon.
I don't know. Still too soon. I mean,
fine.
Drayden dashes around this
with Calcrix in my hand.
Beautiful statue. Calcrix glows and laughs in her Calcrix voice as you rush around. The light glowing from Calcrix pushes apart the shadows, but there is no thing there behind the statue.
Some magical defense mechanism was behind here, Yashiria. Some sort of shadow of a figure.
And as Drayden rushes around the corner, Yashiria, you see a shadow move on the other side of the statue.
Can I use light?
Yeah, sure. You cast light.
I cast light at the shadow.
Well,
you have to touch something to make it light up.
I will touch the statue.
Yeah, the statue begins to glow, causing the shadows around it to flee, and as shadows normally would in the process of light. One of them seems to be actively fleeing, though, these shadows. The shape is reptilian and winged, but it is small and but a fragment. Orion is returned.
What is going on with you two?
There's some sort of shadow in the room. I'm uncomfortable with staying here any longer.
Do you not want to figure out what it is?
Not particularly. Are you feeling any different? Should I go through this draconic blessing?
Well, I mean, you can try, but I think I might have broke it.
I will attempt to stand in the circle.
Sure. You move to stand in the circle. You say the words.
I say the words.
I'm not going to make you recite them because nothing happens.
Thank goodness. Well, Orianna, I hope that whatever you received helps us in our upcoming battle against Balak. Let us continue. Erky, are you all right to continue?
Oh, yes, of course. No, why would I be otherwise?
If things get difficult, I would like you to hide rather than put yourself in danger. You have been through enough.
Doesn't that happen every time we get into a fight?
That's true. And he walks forward towards the slightly open door with Yashiria. Orianna, you are in the back.
Uh-oh.
At this point. And does Orianna wear a cloak?
No.
What does she wear? Does she have robes of some sort, or what is it that she wears?
She wears a tunic with leather leggings because she likes to be able to be free to move.
Leather leggings would not give you much freedom to move.
Trust me.
Just so you know.
Like breeches.
Yeah.
Like. Yeah, yeah, like soft leather.
Like stretchy leather.
Yeah, there's no such thing. That's like a fabric of the modern world.
I don't think
I'm
Lululemon
a sorcerer. I can prepare anything.
Like, I summon a Lululemon monster.
Am I a pumpkin spice latte? Am I Ugg boots because it's getting cold outside?
Don't forget my fingerless gloves.
Oh my god, totally.
And my scarf.
Give me those white moats back.
The back of the tunic is longer. Like, it's longer in the back and then shorter in the front.
Yeah, I mean.
Just giving some clarification.
The mullet of tunics.
Yeah, 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 exactly.
Something tugs upon the back of your tunic, but when you turn, there is nothing there.
I don't say anything. I just turn around and I look over my shoulder and I kind of gaze and squint my eyes, trying to see if I can see anything.
No, can't see anything in the gloom of the recesses of this shrine to Ashardalon.
I quietly whisper so that my siblings cannot hear who's there.
Naught but silence of the stones reaches you.
I look disappointed and I turn around and go to walk away again.
Is the door that we're passing through made out of wood?
Yet another wooden door for your potential carpentry ministrations.
Yeah, no, I'm gonna minister some carpentry. So as soon as everybody's through, I'm actually going to not trap the door, but like jam it. I'm gonna use a shim and like attempt to shim it so like only I can, you know, it would delay somebody opening it.
Sure.
Fractionally.
Yeah.
Or they'd have to be like really strong to open it so that like I know where to go with the shims.
You already have shims in your carpenter's kit. You can shim the door. Please make a carpentry check. I'll ask for that to be either wisdom or dexterity.
Okay. They're both the same. So sweet. 11. It's
okay.
I just want to like delay somebody opening the door.
Oh yeah. No, you absolutely shim the door.
If they were trying
closed,
to run away or if they were trying to come the other way, it would like be noisier than
anybody trying to come into the door from the way you guys just came is going to need to make a DC 15 strength check in order to open this door.
Yeah,
that's basically what you're looking for. You've succeeded in doing that. You may proceed. You stand in a small chamber that is about 20 feet by 20 feet that has bookshelves around the entirety of it, except around the door you are coming from to the door that leads to the other side. Leaning and fallen stone bookshelves fill this chamber, though a clear path connects wooden doors on opposite walls. Torn, burnt pages, bindings, and scrolls form disordered piles in the corners.
Ooh, this looks like the library we were told about.
Mm, yeah.
Can you read scrolls? Or maybe they're magical.
It depends on what language.
Scrolls are written in arcane, and you would be able to understand that.
Then yes.
So I will help her like grab out the scrolls and take a look at them to see if any of them are of use or interest for us.
For information.
Yep. Give me an investigation check for all of those who are taking part. If Yashiria is taking part, then you may roll with advantage, for Erky Timbers will do all he can to assist you.
Sounds like him. 16.
8.
And?
Oh, wow. That was terrible. You guys are distracted by each other.
What was your role, Yashiria?
Natural 1 and a natural 3.
Did you and Erky Timbers just make out in the corner instead of investigate?
We see paper, and that's all we see.
Oh, do you even see paper, or are you too lost in each other's eyes?
No, you see paper.
Yeah, okay. I get the feeling that Erky is much more infatuated with Yashiria.
They're not actually looking at each other. They're holding hands and like looking off in different directions, blushing a little bit. So like that's why they're not looking
at it. That may very well be the case. Teenage love.
They're super cute in their like awkwardness. I know, right? I help Yashiria a lot. 16.
Yes, you've definitely found a few things in this library.
And I hand them to Yashiria to like read over.
Okay, Yashiria's lost in the...
I meant Orianna. All right. I apologize.
Orianna, you see 2 spell scrolls. You cannot determine exactly what spells they are at the moment, but there is also a very beautiful book on a top shelf.
Ooh.
Laying down. It is bound in dragon scale, written in what could only be draconic, and it is beautifully calligraphed and illuminated. I don't remember exactly.
Illuminated, yeah.
Hey, good for me. Beautifully illuminated with gold leaf, silver ink, and other valuable materials that looks to, if you show it to Erky, because he's the only one who can really actually speak that, he has a quick glance and says that this is, in fact, a tome of dragon lore.
Ooh.
Cool.
You take that?
Yeah, I'm going to take that.
So if you've got that book on your person, and there's anything that comes up with regards to dragons that you might want to research or try to look into, if there's a question about dragons, then I will grant you a knowledge check and give you advantage on the check if you decide to make use of the book. But you have to have at least a minute to flip through the pages.
Probably a full chapter on a Shardalon.
There may very well be.
Oh, that's the purple dragon.
Ooh, maybe, yeah.
Maybe there's one on both. Am I allowed to do that now, or should I like do it down the road?
This would be on any checks you'd like to look into, or you have a question and whatnot, you may roll and have advantage on the check to know this sort of information.
Okay.
If you'd like to know anything about a purple dragonborn or a Shardalon, I invite you to listen to Tavern Tales Jr., where the adventures of DJ and her friends occur every month on Wednesday.
Crossover episode.
Oh, I get it.
But the book itself is worth about 150 gold if you were to sell it. Did you want to take a few minutes and casually flip through the book and have a closer investigation of the 2 spell scrolls you have in front of you?
It'd be cool if you looked up anything to do with the Sunless Citadel. If there's anything about the Sunless Citadel in the book, too.
I was thinking of looking up what happened to a Shardalon.
Yes, that's a good question. We'll get to that in a moment. The first spell scroll you can see is the spell scroll of Scorching Ray.
Ooh.
I would recommend that you write them. He's going to write them down and put your name on the next to it, given that you're carrying the spell scrolls and can cast them. The other spell scroll is one of Melf's Acid Arrow. M-E-L-F.
All right, what was the first one?
Scorching Ray.
Yashiria has that too.
I do, but I got that you have Scorching Ray.
What was the second?
Melf's Acid Arrow.
Okay.
What do the 3 of you do while Orianna looks at her book?
I'm going to look around for anything else that's useful around the room that's not spell or whatever related, like magical items or...
Yeah, you can give me another investigation check. And Yashiria.
I will also try and take a look at some more things.
Erky Timbers will attempt to help.
Okay. Is it perception or investigation?
Investigation.
Okay. 14.
Okay.
18.
There is truly nothing else of value or worth in this room. You have combed all of the different piles of dismantled and disdained books. You can definitely see that during the fall of the Sunless Citadel, the upheaval was caused by this library. And if Belak is the wizard you think he is... he should have gone through this room. You would have imagined that he would be super invested in the magical lore that is contained at least in these two spell scrolls, and they were not that difficult to find.
Yeah.
But it does not look as though anyone has actually riffled through the material in this room since it fell.
I'm wondering if he's actually some sort of evil druid instead of a wizard. He doesn't seem to, like, function like a wizard does, presumably. You know, like, he's got twig blights, which are druidy.
And the
he's
garden.
Got the garden. He's got the apples. Hmm. Right?
Well, you're having this conversation with Erky and with Yashiria.
Yeah.
Because Orianna is engaged in her draconic tome.
Oh, yeah. Is it written in draconic?
Yes.
How is she reading it?
You don't know how she's reading it.
Oh.
But for some reason or other, it's perfectly clear as day to Orianna.
All right. Well, I'm talking with Yashiria and Erky, and I just, like, look at Erky, and I'm like, and I go, Erky, I should, while we have a moment, ask you, as the eldest brother, I assume, maybe there's others, what are your intentions with my sister?
Well, Erky doesn't say anything. He just looks at Yashiria. What does Yashiria do in response to that?
I slap my face with my palm and just shake my head slowly and look down at the ground.
He says, well, first, I would very much like to accompany her in the forthright destruction of Balak and his evil goblin henchmen. And from there, well, I don't know. I will allow Yashiria to steer that course. She is the one chosen by Pelor, and I follow and adhere to his teachings in all things. I let Pelor's light be my guide and example in all things. May Pelor's blessing be upon you.
Drayden clears his throat again, crosses his arms, and just, like, looks at the gnome, looks at Yashiria, kind of shrugs a little bit, and then walks towards the next door when Orianna indicates that she's ready to
go. This awkward scene has definitely taken all of your attention.
Oh, yeah.
When you turn to go towards the door and nod for Orianna to accompany you and to further enter into the depths of the Sunless Citadel, You can see Orianna is wearing a cloak. It has a large peaked collar that comes up around the sides of her head, and it billows out behind her and is made of shadow.
Oh, cool.
I am so cool.
And Orianna, you do not realize that you're wearing it, but on some instinctual level you do, for while you hold the book with one hand, the other has grasped the edge of the cloak and pulled it close around you as you look at the Tome of Draconic Lore. While you are wearing this cloak, you have the ability to have advantage on hide checks.
Oh.
You can speak Draconic and understand Draconic. And that is all you know for now in regards to this cloak.
This cool cloak of shadows. Could be cursed.
Ooh. Time could tell as to what this cloak may be.
Could have an annoying white wormling in your head all the fucking time.
But I will tell you this. The name of this magical item is the Shroud of Ashardalon.
Oh, fuck.
Oh, you mean it's not cool cloak like I wrote down?
Do I have to copy that down as loot master or no?
Nah, I would think that it's not something that's sellable.
She's wearing it.
It is the artifact of her pact.
Uh-oh.
Nonetheless, you all see this for the first time.
That's new, Orianna?
The book?
No, the shadow wrapped around your body.
You seemed cloaked in darkness.
I kind of look around and I realize I kind of come out of my trance that I was in, and I realize that there is this new cloak on me that I'm finally realizing with my eyes and not just with my senses.
Excellent.
Seems, looks good. I mean, what do men do but compliment the shoes? Nice cloak.
Smooth, brother. Smooth.
The door opens to the north, leading you to a stairwell that leads downwards.
Ah, the stairs.
Excellent.
You have found them.
This is library stairs, and then Balak, and we kill him. This was the message. I'm happy we are finally on the path.
Just follow the yellow brick road.
Instead, you have found damp and crumbled steps descending sharply by 15 feet. It is an 8-foot-high stone corridor that passes beneath the arboretum you were just in. It is dark and musty, and passes about 60 feet before emerging up another set of 15-foot steps.
Drayden wonders briefly how they water the plants and get sunlight to the plants in the arboretum, and shrugs and says, it must be magic, and continues on the stairs.
You climb up the stairs, and at this point I'll ask, for I would imagine you're being stealthy before. Yeah. So at this point, I will require stealth checks if you are in fact attempting to be stealthy.
We're not very good at being stealthy.
Yeah, I guess I'll roll as well.
Ooh. Oh, boo.
11.
Why does Oriana have disadvantage?
I don't know.
Did you roll with disadvantage?
Yeah.
All right, no, then you have to.
You don't have to.
I'm the dungeon master. I have decreed that for some reason Oriana is disadvantaged. I believe it's because she is engaged in reading the book and she has cast. Do you have the light spell? Is that something you have?
I have light.
No, he does.
You've begged Shiri to cast light on some stone. No, you've got one of the eternal lights on you.
Is Erky sneaky?
Erky is following Shiri. Oh. I will not require Erky to. You need two of you to be successful anyway. So
I have 11.
That is not successful.
No.
12 if I have disadvantage.
Yeah, if you have disadvantage right now. So
12.
It's a reasonable check. You climb up the stairs. You can tell that you are not being very stealthy at all, though. Especially with the... You haven't dimmed the lights.
And I haven't put away Calcrix. Calcrix is, like, shining brightly.
And the other magical lights of the green candle and the green flame torch. Or no, it was the candle and the green torch are glowing brightly as well. So you proceed and the corridor turns at a 90 degree from the east you're traveling south. It is a very long corridor, though. And you regain your faculties as you hasten to reclaim whatever stealthiness you can possibly create. As you approach, the light begins to shine on two doors on your left-hand side. The first door is set about 40 feet away from you. The other door about 65 feet away from you.
I just get this feeling that we should go to door number two first.
The further one?
Yeah.
I agree.
I don't know why.
Do you douse your lights?
Oh, yeah.
Or do you...
Yeah, we'll try to become... I'll put Calcrix away.
And blow out the candle.
Well, right. Luckily, we have our dark vision, right?
Roll your stealth checks.
Not rolling with disadvantage this time.
Still not Dang awesome. Dang it.
What are your totals?
3.
So you have critically failed.
I have critically failed my stealth check.
Are you using your dice?
Well, that's perfect, actually. We'll get to that in a moment. Drayden.
9.
Yeah, definitely shouts out the word 9. Oriana.
10.
And Erky Timbers is following through with a 6.
We got so caught up in let's douse our lights and douse the lights.
So as you're walking along... Trotting along. Oriana is trying to finish the paragraph she's reading. Oh, it's just so engaging. Not stealthy. Drayden is still talking to Calcrix. But I don't want to go away! No one can hear that.
No, but I think in response, I raise my voice to her level. So it's as she's yelling at me, I'm but you need to be quiet. We are trying to be stealth. And I say stuff a little too loudly. Because I don't know that other people can't hear her.
You may have a blue moat for that.
Oh, thank you.
And Yashiria, having critically failed, does not realize that the candle is not one you can blow out. And is trying desperately to blow out a candle that... is eternally lit as a light source.
It's one of those gag birthday candles.
Very much like that, yes. Because there is no genuine flame. It's magical flame. It doesn't even respond to your blowing, and you're just so engaged in this. Do you call this out to anyone to say?
No.
It's unfortunate. It doesn't respond to blowing.
No.
Poor Erky.
She just needs more practice.
Let's just keep it PG, guys.
Just keep blowing. Yeah. It'll go out eventually.
Gets all tired and wants to have a snoozles.
It'll go out with a puff. As you approach the first door.
We're going to the second door first.
You can't go to the second door first.
Why?
Because you have to pass the first door first. That's how corridors work.
Oh, I thought it was an option.
Fine. We'll go to the first door first. We just won't open it.
You may definitely proceed past it. However, you may not want to. As a voice in Gobbly hears all of this transpire and says, which Yashiria immediately hears, "Help! Help! I'm trapped in here! Someone! I can hear you, please!"
Oh.
Someone's crying for help. They're trapped in this room.
Oh, fine. Let's open the door. I go to open the door. I'm like, fine. I'll pull Calcrix. There's no, like, you know, we must hero.
Rattle, 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 click, click. The door is locked in your hands.
Oh, well. It's too bad. Is it wood?
Oh, yes.
You're going to take it apart.
Are the pins on the outside or the inside?
The door opens inward. Actually, you know what? You tell me.
I mean, if the pins are on the outside, I can just, like, pull them and, like, open the door.
Yeah, it seems like really shoddy craftsmanship.
I know. Well, if somebody's locked in, it's better for that.
Tell you what. You roll a d6. I'll roll a d12. All right. And we'll see who wins.
All right. Six.
You win. I'll say ties go to the defender. I've rolled a six as well. The pins are wherever you want them to be.
They're on the outside.
They're in your hands already?
Yes. Yes. I pop the pins out.
She's holding her hand out to me like, they're right here. You just...
Surprised she's not holding the door in her hands.
She's your pinky and flick them out. The door falls off the hinge on that side. The lock there kind of cracks because it's made of wood as well. You just pull the door away and the figure on the inside, well, the sound on the inside after a shocking cry of pain says, "Oh, what an ingenious way to open a door." In Gobbly, the compliment goes right over your head.
Is there a goblin in the room?
There is indeed. Let me tell you what is going on.
Sure.
A layer of soil covers the floor. Rough wooden shelves filled with a scattering of tomes and scrolls line the north and east walls, and a rough-hewn desk stands in the center of the chamber. Fungus on the ceiling provides light, apparently in sufficient quantity to nourish several small bushes and pale saplings that grow in the soil. Upon what could only be like a gurney lays a youngish goblin, in potentially his, you know, early 20s for goblin kind. He is pale, green, and ashen, covered in mottled bruising, and a large tumor distends from the side of his belly that looks exceedingly painful and has a green spidering of veins all around it. As you look upon it, it kind of seems to pulse, and the goblin cries out in pain again.
Ah!
Can I do a medicine check on him?
You move into the chamber?
Yeah.
Yes, I'll move in with her key.
You move into the chamber. The goblin espies you, and he initially says, "Oh, do you speak common?"
Yes.
"Please get me out of here. Oh, do your medicine check."
Can I do an arcana check on him?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. That would be a perfectly acceptable thing. What are you specifically looking for?
Just to see if the origination of the spidering effect in the tumor is possibly from a spell.
Sure. Yeah, I like that.
It's a magical item.
See where the dice tell us on that. What's the medicine check say?
22.
Wow. And what does the arcana check say?
23.
All right. First, the origin of this tumor and the green spidering of veins is not magic in origin. You do not know of a spell that could possibly have been cast to do this sort of action. However, what is transpiring now does appear to be somewhat magical in nature, but it is not of a magic that you're aware of or particularly knowledgeable in. It seems to be a natural magic or a druidic craft lore that might have been put to use. Your medicine check reveals that both of the goblin's legs are broken, as well as his wrist, and the tumor on the side of him is in danger of, well, it's potentially damaged some of his organs as well, as it is pushing out, it must be pushing in. And definitely this goblin requires surgery and other healing arts to repair the damages.
I'm going to look at the scrolls and see if there's anything that Ariana could read.
The ones I have?
You see that there are a few interesting things. There is a very nice looking tome that has a title in Draconic on the outer edge of the thick leather binding.
I'm going to grab it and say, Ariana, here's another history book for you.
Yeah. Do you just pass it to her just like that?
Yeah.
Okay. You're engaged. Otherwise, what do you want to do?
I put, because I'm assuming I'm still holding my other tome that I was
reading.
Yeah,
you're holding your one book and then you're using your other hand either to hold the cloak or to make use of the, like, do the Arcana check to check them. Like, you have to poke and prod the guy and investigate him in some capacity. So your hands are otherwise engaged. What would you like to do?
I asked Drayden to open the book and try and show me, because my eyes are still free, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you are otherwise engaged, though. So you see that Ariana is busy. You're just going to hang on to it. You're going to put it in your bag, or?
Yeah.
Okay. You take the book, and you just stick it away in your bag.
Tome.
Put Tome Star on there.
All right. Will do.
Yeah, you don't open the book or have a look at it at all. Not interesting to you.
I mean, I don't read Draconic, so...
You don't know if it's written in the book inside is Draconic or not.
I'll take a flip through.
You flip open the book, and the book falls open. You flip the first page. You open up the second page. There is a blinding flash of light as the book explodes in your face.
Stupid son of a bitch. All right, how much damage... This stupid, like, rune of glifting ward or something. Whatever.
I like how you almost opened it up right in front of Oriana.
I was like, hey, look at this!
Look at this! Blam!
And dead. I am not the smartest match in the kindling box. Let's just throw that out there.
Oh, my.
Do I get a dex save? Is it warding glyph?
I can get everyone to make a dexterity saving throw, please.
Oh. All right, I'm going to spend a blue mote to get advantage.
Oh, that was a good idea. I already rolled. 11.
Not enough.
Uh-oh. 11.
18.
Not enough.
18.
That is enough.
I throw the book.
Yeah, you must throw the book towards everybody else. Drayden, you take 18 points of damage.
Oh, son of a bitch. All right, that's half.
Erky, Timbers, Oriana, and Yashiria. Each take 37 points of damage.
What? She's dead, yeah.
I only had 10?
I'm down.
And Erky Timbers is also down.
What?
All right, I'm going to, because I did this to everybody, I'm going to spend the white moat and be like, this looks like it's a dangerous book. I'm not going to open it.
You see, you're going to spend a white moat.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
To say what?
So my patron in the yawning portal is back and she speaks like this. I'll remind you.
And him.
Oh, not you again.
I don't, you know, as the president of the Drayden Fan Club, I'm going to have to inform you that it didn't go down that way at all. No, Drayden was too smart to open something so dangerous and just put it back on the shelf, disinterested.
Nope. One white moat is not sufficient. To change the story in such a large capacity.
How many moats?
Would anyone else like to interrupt the tale in the yawning portal?
Oi, listen up here. I have to agree that's not what happened here. However...
And who are you?
Gregory Thornback.
That's a good name.
Thank you. It's a very manly name.
And you, Gregory Thornback, what do you say? What do you say happened?
Well... I definitely know that book wasn't opened, but from what I know, it didn't go back on the shelf neither.
I know for a fact that the book opened and created havoc in the room.
No, didn't happen.
We have still not spent nearly enough white motes. to change. Yes.
Yeah, you little bugger with the three over there.
In the third white moat. How do you interrupt the telling of the tale?
No, no, no. The book didn't open. Come on. What happened was is they all went in the room. Drayden saw the book, but it had all this red skull and crossbones on it. And even though Drayden was the prettiest, he wasn't the smartest one. He looked at it and said, I better not open this. So we didn't open it. It didn't fall. It just sat on the bench wherever it was and nothing happened.
I can seriously imagine, like, a New York-y, Waterdovian noble, like, being like, yo, what? Hey, bada boom, bada bing, yeah.
No bada boom, bada bing.
No bada boom, bada bing, yes, exactly.
The weight of your contestation has the narrator backing up and says,
like, I guess you must be right, for I don't recall them having any damage as they reached into the room beyond. So forsaking the fact that they weren't in fact all dead and exploded on the floor, they left the goblin to his own devices and moved into the room beyond.
We do say that we'll be back for him, but there's nothing that we can do at this moment until we kill Balak.
It's worth noting, they had a brief conversation with the goblin, who revealed himself to be named Cleekson and of some significance in the world above, and his fate is perhaps that of another tale.
I'll give a blue moat to anyone who remembers who Cleekson is.
Was Cleekson one of the goblins, the three goblins that were upstairs?
No, Cleekson was the goblin that was in charge before Grendel
took over power.
Well, before Dern took over power.
You've heard the name Cleekson before.
Yeah, I think.
Does anyone recall where you've heard the name before? In fact, you've read the name before. I hearken you back as you move into the next chamber. I hearken you back to the very first session. Before you descended down, you saw written in gobbly on a stone plinth a whole bunch of goblin graffiti.
Right.
About Cleekson having sex with his mom. Yeah. Or having Cleekson having sex with Grenell. Oh, and then Cleekson's response of, Grenell's my mom, you guys.
Yeah.
Much like there was a conversation going on in the bathroom stall of a high school boys' washroom. But all that is neither here nor there. As you have moved from Balak's personal study and personal laboratory, there is a bed in that area as well, and you move into the final room of the Sunless Citadel.
Actually, can we take a moment and just strategize before we go into this final room?
No.
I only have 10 health.
Let me tell you what this next room looks like. Twigs and roots are piled on the floor of this sagging chamber. The collapsed southern wall opens into a vast cavern. Luminescent fungus on the rough walls and the high roof loom over a twilight grove of sickly briars, brushes, bushes, saplings, and other woody plants. Ruined walls and hollow towers protrude from amongst the briars. So the room you're currently in has a door to your right. You would assume that that is the door that leads to the corridor you were just in. The room itself is about 60 feet by 40 feet. The southern wall, the southern 60-foot wall, is completely obliterated, descending into this natural cavern, leaving behind the Sunless Citadel itself, descending into this twilight, underdark sort of cavern. The briars, though, they extend immediately from the cavern itself, and they look dangerous, wicked, and difficult to pass through.
We could burn them.
Maybe. Could you cut through them?
I could try.
It is in this room, with a quietened Cleekson, having been tended to by the ministrations of Yashiria, quietens down into a fitful but rested slumber. You're uncertain if what you've done has helped him at all. I don't think you cast any healing spells on him, though. No. In the strangest action yet you've seen, Erky Timbers, while you're performing a medicine check on Cleekson, whispers a brief prayer to Paylor that this little goblin turn out all right.
Aww.
You may take a short rest in this new chamber, final chamber, if you would like.
Yes,
please. Yes.
Yes. Roll your hit dice if you would like to regain any hit points.
So this is a good opportunity to chat while we're taking a rest on. I wanted to take an opportunity to like strategize with my sibling.
You take your short rest, and that's where we'll end the game tonight.
There's some wonderful stuff in this one.
This concludes this episode of Tavern Tales, a curated Dungeons & Dragons 5e game set in the Tales of the Yawning Portal Adventure module by Wizards of the Coast. Our intro and outro music is the song Tavern Tales by the Bad Billy Band. You can find out more about the Bad Billy Band on iTunes or at www.badbillyband.com or follow them on Twitter at Bad Billy Band. Thanks for listening. Please feel free to leave us a review on iTunes or find us on Twitter at Tavern_Tales. We'll be back next week with more of the adventure.